Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi by the Zohar Daf Yud. We begin 8 lines off the top of the Amud here, Maskeflor of Acha Bar Yaakov. This is back to the story that we had yesterday at the end of the Daf. We discovered this shtar, which was seemingly post-dated. So, actually, the shtar was written, say, 250 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, the assumption was that they would date their documents referring to the establishment of the Greek Empire as their starting point, as their point of reference. The Yevanim came about 380 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash. So if you add 380 plus 250 since the Churban to today, it should be dated with the number 530. But in reality, it was 536. That's what he wrote. So the question was, is this a problematic document? Is this a post-dated document? In which case, it only gets activated in 6 years from today. Today is really 530. Why is it 536 on the document? The Gemara says, no, well, this cipher was a historian enthusiast. He was an expert in world events. And he recalled that the Greeks, although they only formally established themselves at the year 380 prior to destruction, but really they've been endeavoring for 6 years prior to that until they finally came about to establish their malchus. So he added the extra 6 years, hence he arrived at this grand total of 536, but it's really a reference to today. It's a currently dated document and it's kosher. Asks the Gemara, who says Malchus Yavan was his point of reference, in which case you've justified it and certified the shtar. Maskeflor of Achabar Yaakov. Mimai, who's to say Dil Malchus Yavan Manina, that we count based on Malchus Yavan? Dilma Litzias Mitzrayim Manina. Maybe we're meant to count the years based on leaving Mitzrayim. Now, so happens that 1,000 years from Yitzias Mitzrayim coincides with the very year that the Yevanim established themselves, 380 before Churban. Coincidentally, it so happens to be, right? Nothing's by coincidence, but right, it coincides perfectly. That's when the first 1,000 ends. Okay, so now, if you were to date his document based on Yitzias Mitzrayim, how many years since leaving Egypt? So let's say, like we said, today is 250 years since the Churban. Suppose, right? You would have to say like this, 1,000 plus 380 till the Churban plus 250 since the Churban. So it would be, the accurate number would be 1,530. Instead, it says 536. Now, we can first of all say that he dropped 1,000. Just like the way we count our Hebrew calendar today. We don't say 5,700, right? We say Tavshinayin, right? 707. We leave out the 1,000 marker. So perhaps he left out the 1,000 numeral. He dropped 1,000. And hence he came up with 530. And if so, it's problematic. It's post-dated because really, it should be 530. He wrote 536. How do you justify that? So you were working with the assumption that he was referring back to Malchus Yavan, which established itself formally 380 years before the Churban, plus 250 since the Churban, plus 530. He added 6 because prior to 380, there were 6 years that they were endeavoring and building themselves up. So he referred to that, but really it's referring to today's year. In his mind, in the Sefer's mind, today is not 530, it's 536. However, if Yitzias Mitzrayim is the reference point, if that's the starting point, if that's what we're dating it from, then we're off. There's no way to justify that. Because it's 1,530 since Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he wrote 536. Fine, so he dropped 1,000. How do you get to 536 instead of 530? It's post-dated. So again, Maskel Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Mimaydel Malchus Yevana Manin, who says we're counting based on Yavan, Dilma Litzias Mitzrayim Manin, perhaps we're basing on Litzias Mitzrayim, V'shavkil Alfa Kama. True, he dropped 1,000. Numeral. V'nachte Alfa Basra, and he's only referring to the years within the second 1,000. 530. And why is it 536 on the document? It's post-dated. V'ayim u'chervu. Amar Rav Nachman, Begoyla, Ein Moinen, Elul Malchi Yevana Vlvad, Adavert Yisrael, there was a special takana. That in fact, we date our documents based on the establishment of Malchus Yevon. Hence, we certify the document as being current and accurate, despite the added 6 years, as we explained yesterday. Who suffered the Chuyi Kumatchile? He thought he was just Rav Acha Bar Yaakov figured that Rav Nachman was just sort of shooing him away with this answer. That, the Greek, the establishment of the Greeks is our official reference point. Nafak dak va'ashkach. But he went out and he analyzed he went to look around, he found a braisa that concurs with this directive, that in fact it's true. The sanya, we have a braisa, begoyla, ein moinen, elul malchay, yivana bilvad, a special takana. The Mefarshim explained, this was based on the story where Alexandrus came to destroy Yerushalayim, and he met up with Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen Gadol, the great Tzadik, and he laid down his arms, but he conditioned that, first of all, the Kohanim named their sons after him, Alexandrus, and number two, that they use Yavan as their reference point for dating their documents. So from then on, in fact, they adopted this practice. So it's true. Ein Moinen, Elo L'malchi Yevana Bilvad. Omer Avinu, Masnisin Namedeka. Take a look at the Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, which will prove this point as well. The Snam, we have a Mishnah which says, V'echad B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'malchim L'Rugalim. So first, you have Nisan, is considered the top of year with respect to kings and the count of the Yemim Tovim. Amrina, we asked, L'malchim, what does that mean, L'malchim? Ma'hilcha, so what halachic effect does that have? Omer Av Chizil L'Shtoreis, in terms of dating your documents. So as soon as it turns into Aleph Nisan, the year is now switched into the next. It's considered the next year with respect to the king's reign, with respect to dating documents. So that's one part of the Mishnah. The year begins Aleph Nisan, and then we have a Mishnah with Tanan, Ve'echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, L'Shanim, V'Lishmitin. It's first day of Tishrei, which is considered top of the year with respect to years. For Aminan, we asked, L'Shanim, Ma'ichas, what do you mean for years? Years begin Echad B'Tishrei with respect to what? Rav Chisda, L'Shtoreis, again with respect to dating documents. The new year begins Echad B'Tishrei, which seemingly contradicts what we just said, that it's Echad B'Nisan. We have a contradiction within the Halacha of Shtar. Mishanin, the answer was, depends which king we're talking about. Kan L'Malchi Yisrael, whether it's a Jewish king that we're dating based on his reign, so then it's based on Aleph Nisan, Kana Malchi Ab Kicham, but if you're dating it based on a non-Jewish king, the year begins Aleph Tishrei. Right? L'malchi Ab Kichavim, it's me Tishrei, meaning we count from Tishrei. L'malchi Yisrael, if it's with reference to Jewish kings, Minisan Menin, we count from Nisan, that's the beginning of the year. That's when we left Mitzrayim, right? Now, Banan, Hashta, Mitishrei Menin, if you take a look at our documents, the year begins at Tishrei. Now, if you're going to tell me it's based on leaving Mitzrayim, the top of the year is not Tishrei, it's Nisan. We should be counting from Nisan. Oh, that proves our point, that it's based on the non-Jewish kings, whose year begins on Tishrei, exactly as we said. We date our documents based on the Greek kings, based on the years of their reign, which is Tishrei oriented. Shmamina. V'yayim genusna shemalcheyem. Mishnah says, we went to be careful from doing business with the goyim during their holiday season. One of them is called Yayim genusya shemalcheyem. So what is that? My v'yayim genusya shemalcheyem. I'm Rav Yehuda. Well, that's when they establish their malchus. That's when they inaugurate their new king. Yayim shemamidim bo yayiv dekechavim es malchum. They celebrate, they worship their idols on that day, keep away. But Tanya, how could you say it's inauguration day? We have a braisa that mentions this plus Inauguration Day. Apparently, it's not one and the same event. Yom Yeginus is one thing, and then in addition, we have Yom Shem Amidim Bais Malchim, the day that they establish their malchus. They inaugurate their new king. Apparently, these are two different events. Like Kasha answers like this. Hadaday, one is the king himself. Hadabrei, that's when he establishes his son as king. So Yom Shem Amidim Bais Malchim, that's the father himself, when he's inaugurated. Yom Yeginus is where he managed to anoint his own son during his lifetime as the successor to the throne. That's called Yom Yeginus. Really? These are Roman holidays, right? Umimukmi Malka bar Malka. Since when do the Romans have this ability to appoint a son as successor to father? It never happens. They were cursed. It doesn't happen. Vatani Rav Yosef. Yosef taught us the Pasuk. Hine katan nesatich b'goyim. Right? So they're going to be the smallest among the nations, which means to say they're not going to have continuity in their reign. It won't be passed on from father to son. Shemashivin melech ben melech, and when it says bozri atam oid, will be very degraded. They don't have their own culture, their own language. Shein lehen leksav, they don't have their own alphabet, their own language. It's all taken from other nations. Apparently there's no succession in the Roman dynasty. Elamai, so what then does the Mishnah mean? Yom Genusya, as a day of celebration. Yom HaLeda, the king's birthday. How could you say that? Batani, you have a Braisa, which refers to Yom Genusya and birthday. Apparently, these are two different things. Yom Genus, v'Yom HaLeda. The answer is, Lekashi Hadidei. Yom HaLeda means the king's own birthday. Hadabrei, Genusya means his son's birthday. Batani, but the Braisa covers all as separate events. Yom Genusya Shaloi, his own Genusya. Yom Genusya Shalbnai, his B'nai's Genusya. V'yam HaLeda Shaloi, his own birthday. V'yam HaLeda Shalbnai, the birthday of his son. Apparently, Genusya and Leda and birthdays are two different. Ella, my. Apparently, you must say, Yom Genusya means the inauguration day of the king's son, like we said before. Yom Shemavidim by Malkum. And answer your question regarding succession and continuity in Rome, well, the answer is like this. Hadidei hadibrei. Oh, hold it. So, Yom Genusya means his son's inauguration. Yom Shemavidim by Malka means when the father himself is inaugurated. V'kashloch, and answer your question. Duloi mukmi Malka by Malka. Romans don't have that continuity. Al yedish she'elu mukmi. Typically it's not done, but there are exceptions. If the king got special permission from the Senate to have his son succeed him during his lifetime, at times it works as an exceptional event. Kigain, for instance, we have Asvirus, that was his name. He was the son of the famous Antoninus, who was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi HaKadosh's good friend, Bar Antoninus. The Malach, so the son here, took over for his father. And what happened? Omle, what was the story behind the event? Omle Antoninus le Rebbe, Antoninus asked Rebbe for some advice. He was his confidant, he was his friend. Be'ina de yimlech asvirus brit chosi. I would like my son Asvirus to take over for me. Number one. Number two, I want to know, I would like to have a Tveria, the city full of chachamim, become a tax-free zone, tax-exempt jurisdiction. I want to free all of you from taxes. But this Avet Tveria, the town of Tveria, should be klanya, free of any taxes. Have both requests. V'emelu. But if I turn to my Congress, they won't grant both requests. They don't do two at a time. Chad Avdi, they'll do one. They'll grant one. Tredli Avdi, they won't grant two requests. That's the protocol. How do I get both requests accepted? So Rebbe, instead of answering directly, verbally, he made this sort of demonstration in front of Antoninus that he figures out on his own. I see Gavras. Rebbe took this man, Arkevei Chavrei. He had him ride on the other fellow, so he gave him a piggyback ride or a shoulder ride. And he put a dove into the hand of the upper fellow. And Rebbe turned to the fellow on bottom, who was holding him up. Ask the fellow over you to let go of that bird. And that was the Rebbe's answer to Antoninus. Antoninus studied the parable, the mashal. And he figured out exactly what the message was. Omar, he figured, Shmamina Hachi Kamali, apparently this is what he was trying to tell me. Instead of approaching the Senate with both requests at once and risking refusal, I'm going to do as follows. At you, meaning Antoninus, bo'iminayu, just approach them and ask them for one thing. Das virus bri yimlech tchoisi, that my son Asvirus should take over my kingdom. Then, once he's appointed, ve'imaleil Asvirus, and then go and ask Asvirus that he should exempt Tveria from taxes. This way, you'll kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. Ve'imaleil Asvirus, and tell Asvirus, this is Avid, Ta'avid, Tveria, kat kalanya, you should free Tveria of its taxes. So that was his answer to solve this dilemma. Next question that he had for Rebbe. I need advice. Omerle, mitzarenli chashuvei Romei, the prominent members of Rome are troubling me, they're distressing me. How do I solve this one? Just kill them all out at once? Or so Rebbe responded again with a live demonstration to indicate his response. Ma'ile l'kina. So he took him into his garden, Rebbe did. Kol yom, every day, akarle pugla. He ripped out pugla. He pulled out a radish from the patch. Come in front of Antoninus. And that was it. Every day, pulled out another one. Omar, now Antoninus got the message. Mami, no. Apparently, he's trying to tell me like this. At you, Antoninus, toil chad minay. You kill them out one at a time, not all at once, lest you generate a rebellion, right? Like this garbu bekula, rather than confronting them all at once. This way, you'll solve your problem quietly. Now the obvious question, why did Rebbe have to use all these demonstrations and riddles instead of just answering him directly? The answer is Amar. He was figuring, Shami bi chashubi roimi, perhaps the prominent of Rome will hear that I got involved in their issues, umitzarule, and they'll give me a hard time, they'll punish me. Why can't you just whisper it to Antoninus? Nobody's going to hear. The answer is, you never know. Mishum dechsev, the pasuk says, you never know where your words will end up. The bird in heaven will transfer the koil. Some explain this is a reference to the Tsar of Rome, the Malach, who might overhear and try to get back at Rebbe. Better leave the words unsaid. Yeah, and the Malach can't read the mind, so this way he's safe and protected. Next problem that Antoninus had, and required some of Rebbe's advice. Havalei Havbrata, so he had this daughter, the Shema Gira, whose name was Gira, Tkav the Isura. She deviated, she was involved with Issa, with a man. Shadalei. So Antoninus sent Rebbe a message, Gar Gira, my daughter did Avera. She was drawn after men. Shadalei. So actually Rashi explains, Gar Gira is the name of an Esav, of some sort of grass, some sort of plant. And Rebbe understood it wasn't just the plant that he was sending him. There must be some hidden message, and that's what he had in mind, that his daughter Gira was involved with. Shadalei, so Rebbe responded with the word Koisparta, which is another type of plant. Rashi learns Koisparta, two words, Kois Shecht, kill, Barta, the daughter. Taisus actually learned that Rebbe did not mean she should kill her, he meant to say, just cover it up, don't publicize it, take care of it, privately in your house, don't make a big deal out of it. But he misunderstood, he thought, literally, to kill her. Shadalei, so he responded, Karti, I'm going to destroy my offspring, I don't want to do that. Shalach lechasa, so Rebbe responded chasa, which is another vegetable, it's a vegetable, it's a lettuce, which means to say, habrachmanis, have compassion. And again, Tosis explains that what he was saying is, I meant this all along, I didn't mean to kill it literally, I meant to cover it and take care of it in home, and rather than making it a public spectacle. Kol yoyma hava shodle dahava pricha. So on a daily basis, Antoninus, who was very wealthy, would send Rebbe a delivery of the Hava Pricha gold, flakes, b'matrasa, and these huge leather sack grains. Grain sacks. V'chitia pomaya, covered with grain, with wheat, so that the delivery man don't realize that it's really gold. Amaluni tells his men, "I'm to you chiti l'Rebbe, bring the wheat to Rebbe." Amarle, Rebbe, so Rebbe noticed what was going on. He says, "No, I don't need this. I'm also wealthy. Like Tzrichna, I don't need your gifts. Isli tuva, plenty of my own." Amar Taninus insisted that he keep the gift, and he said, "Look, you know, down the road, we're friends. I respect you tremendously. I'm not gonna, but my kids, you never know what's gonna happen. They might attack your kid, your descendants. They might tax them and fine them, and might cost your kids a lot of money because of my kids. So this will be an advance installment. Take it on credit to pay for the eventual expenses that my descendants will impose upon yours." Amar, he said, "Lahavu l'man debasrach. Let it be for those who come after you. The avul basrai, for their payments to my descendants. The asa basrach, the asa minai, for your kids and the ones that follow them. Nebukalai will use these treasures to pay off the fines and charges that will be imposed on them by my descendants." Okay, havali ahin nikrasa. There was this tunnel stretching from Antoninus' home. Perhaps he has some sort of summer home in Eretz Yisrael. Between his home to Rebbe's home, Dava Ailam Beis Rebbe, extending from Antoninus' home to Rebbe's home. And he would, on a daily basis, clandestinely travel through the tunnel and arrive at Rebbe's home to learn with him, to serve him. Kol Yom, every day, have a Maisi, Terei Avdi. He would bring along two servants. The king doesn't go along, right? He took two servants, but he wanted to keep it secret, so he would kill them before he gets back home. Chad Katle Abavad Be Rebbe, the first servant he would kill at the door of Rebbe's home, so he would be gone there. V'chad katle above the basin. The other one was kept alive until he got back home and kill him. He would kill him before he enters back his palace. So this way, nobody would know of this trip. Amarle, and he requested of Rebbe, "Please do me a favor. I want to keep this top secret. When I come, it's only you and me, four eyes. That's it, nobody else. Bidna dasina. When I come to you, lo nashkach gvar kamach. Please make sure there's nobody else there." One day, there was somebody sitting there. Ashkechei, the Rav Chanina bar Chama, Dava Yosef. He noticed Rav Chanina sitting there. Omar, he told Rabbi, "Didn't I ask you, Le'amina l'cha be'idno da'asina? Didn't I tell you when I come, le'nashka k'var kamach, there shouldn't be anybody here? I'm alay." Rabbi says, "Oh, that's not a man. That's a malach. That's an angel. Less than bar inner. He's not a man. He's an angel." Omar alay, so Antoninus wanted to test the nature of this man. So he says like this. Omar alay, Emelei la avda, please go tell my servant who's sitting by the tunnel there, the Gani Abava, who's sleeping, he's really dead, but he was sleeping at the doorway, the Kohen Velesi should get up and come here. Okay. Ozel Chanin Bracham, Chanin went over there, and he notices him dead. Ashkechei David Kodli sees that he was killed. Omar, now he's in a dilemma. What should I do? Hechi Navid, what should I do? Hechi Avid. I Ezel Emelei, the Kodli, should I go back and inform him that he died? Ain Meshivan al Kakol, you're not meant to respond with a negative report. It's not a good mazel, you don't do that. Ash Bekei Ve'ezel, so just leave him alone and go my own way. Well, then I'm being disrespectful to the king who asked me to come back to Kumizal Zilm of Malchusas. What should I do? Bar Rachmi Alei, so he dived into Hashem, and he revived the servant. He's back alive, Shadrin, he sent him to Antoninus. Here he is, Omar, Antoninus. Responded like this. Yadana, I know good and well. Zuti disbechu, the smallest tzaddikim amongst you, can revive the dead. You people are the greatest. Mechayim meis miu, but please, I beg you, next time don't do this. Beidna dasina, next time when I come, lenashkach inish kamach. Please make sure nobody's here. Okay. Kol yom every day, have a meshamish l'Rebbe. Antoninus would serve Rebbe. He respected him. He understood his madrega, and he felt it a privilege to serve Rebbe. Machle, mashkle, he would give him to eat, to drink. Kavaboy, Rebbe Lemesak Lepuria, they would eat on beds, right? So Rebbe would be ready to climb up onto his bed. Havagochan Kamek Puria. Antoninus would actually bow down and serve as a stepping stool. Omelin, he would tell Rebbe, Sakilavoy Puria, please step over me onto your bed. Omar, Rebbe refused. Lav Urach Arale Zelzule Machusakul. Yeah, it's not. It's out of character. It's disrespectful. It's not proper to be so. Be mezalzel, so disrespectful to the royalty. Kuliyai. Amar, Antoninus responded. He was unimpressed. He says, "Mi asimeni, if only I can be placed as a matzah, as a mat, underneath you. Tachtech el Olam Haba. So please, it's my privilege. Amalei, asinu l'amud asi? One day, Antoninus asks Rebbe, you know, will I be zaych, will I merit having a portion to Olam Haba? Amalei, he says, yeah, in, yeah. Because even a guy, if he adheres to the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach for the proper kavana, he's zaycha. He's considered chassidi umas ha'olam. Amalei, yeah, in. Amalei, Antoninus responded with the question, but the pasuk indicates otherwise, that Esav and all his descendants will be banned from Olam Haba forever. Oksiv lo yisarid lebeis Esav. There'll be nobody left from Esav's household. So Rabbi said, ba'isa masa Esav, only those who stick to Esav's way of life and Esav's ideology. But you're good, you're different. Taninam, we find the same in Abraisa, that there were exceptions made for the righteous ones, even of Esav's household. Lo yesar debes Esav. So perhaps it covers everybody, all members of Esav's household, all his descendants. Perhaps to all, which means only Esav, those who carry on his tradition. Amalei, Antoninus responded to Rebbe, but Valksiv, the pasuk says, Shama Edom over there in Gehenim is the place of Edom, Melochea, V'chol Nase'eha, right? Edom is Seir, is Esav. All its kings, all its leaders will be in Gehenna. Apparently we have no chance. Amalei says no. Melachel means, for the most part, its kings will end up there. V'loi kol melachel, not everybody. You're an exception. When it says kol nesiel, it means all its priests and all its, v'loi kol sereel, but not all its ministers. There are some exceptions. We're going to see soon there was a fellow called Ketir Bar Sholem. He was a righteous one amongst the Roman ministers. He merited Olam Haba. We find the same in Abraisa. Melochea means some of its melochim. V'loi kol melochea, not all. Kol nesiya means all the nesiyim, but not all its ministers. V'loi kol tzoreha. And the Gemara explains. Melochea v'loi kol melochea, as opposed to some. Prat l'antoninus ben asvirus, who was righteous. And kol nesiya means all the nesiyim, v'loi kol tzoreha, but not all ministers. Prat, we make an exception for a fellow called Ketir Bar Sholem. What was the story behind this fellow? Ketir Bar Sholem Mayhavi. Davu Kisra, there was this Roman king, Davasoni Luido, he hated the Jews. Omerlu, the Chashiva de Malchus, he turned to his confidants with a question. Misha Alloloi Nima Baragli. You know, a fellow has some dead skin on his foot. What do you do? Yiktena Viyichin, should he remove it and live a good life? Oya Nechena Viyitztar, should he just leave it in place and be distressed? What's the proper approach? Meaning, what do I do with these Jews? Omerlu, they says, well, Yiktena Viyichin, of course you remove it. Get rid of the Jews. And the king accepted the advice and was going to act upon it. So Ketir, one of the ministers, called out and he says to the king, hold it, before you continue, a word of caution. Chada, first of all, you're not going to be successful in eradicating the Jews. You're not going to have to take them all out because no Jews, no world. The pasuk says, Ki ka'arba ruchas ha'shamayim parasti eschem. I spread you like the four sides of the world. Now, what does Ki'arba Ruches mean? My comment, what does the Pasuk mean? Does it mean simply that Hashem dispersed us throughout the four corners of the world? Ilem devardartahin, devadrasahin, bedal ruches? Does it mean simply that Hashem dispersed us throughout the world? Well, then it shouldn't say Ki, like the four, it should say Hai Ki'arba Ruches, Li'arba, it should say Li'arba Ruches. Meboile should say, I spread you to the four sides of the world, not like the four ruches. Ella, rather, there's a deeper meaning to the pasuk. It's not just about location and geography. It's about the criticality of Yidden to the existence of the world. Ella, k'shem she'efshar lo'olam b'lo ruchai, just like a world can't survive without the breezes and the winds blowing around and circulating the air. You can't have a world without it doesn't exist without the Jews. So you're just going to be undoing yourself by trying to void. Furthermore, if you proceed with this plan, if you get rid of your Jews, they're going to call you a cut off, a missing malchus. You're missing a nation. So better back off from this plan. Amalei said the king in his frustration told the minister, look, Meima Shapaka Amris, I see you're saying well. Miyu, but you have now won me over in debate, and the rule is called the Zochi Malchus, whoever wins over the Melech in debate, Shadle Lekamunya Chalila, they throw him into this room full of sand and he dies. And yeah, that was going to be his punishment. Kad Havanachtin Leiva Uzlan, as they were taking him into this place, Amalei Matronisa, so he met up with this noble woman on the way, and she says, "Oi, you advocated for the Jews, and you're not going to even be able to share their portion. Lo'ilam haba, what a pity. For all that you did for them, you sacrificed for them, you're not even going to get their reward. Vai," and she used a mashal, a parable. "My vai le ilfa, woe to this ship, the azla bala mikhsa, that's trying to get through without paying taxes. And then they're going to confiscate all its merchandise. What a pity. You haven't paid your taxes, you haven't joined the Jewish nation, and you suffered for them, you're going to lose everything." So at that very moment, he quickly circumcised himself. Nafal Risha, the Urla, say he dropped down on the skin of his Urla, Katan, he removed it, and he became a ger. Interestingly, Taisha Springs, based on a Yerushalmi, that the same thing happened with Antoninus. He asked Rebbe, "What about the great reward of Elam Habal, of Yasan, and right?" And he said, "Sure, you could join, and you could have all that." And Taisha says that basically he took that as a cue, and he became a ger. He had a bris milah and became a full-fledged ger. So, in similar fashion, Ketir Bar Sholem seized the moment and he became the ger. And then, in the few moments that he still had to live, he quickly took advantage and he gave away all his assets. Apparently, he was a wealthy man. To the Talmid Chachamim, to support Torah, to give him the extra zechus, the merit, to be zeichet to Ilm Habo. Omar, and he quickly declared, as his last minute, you know, will, Yahavis Mikaspi. Sorry, before we got to that point, Omar, he said, when he finished the milah, he says, Yahavis michsi, oh, I just paid my dues, my taxes, I did the milah, removed the arla, chalfis v'avris, now can pass through, and I will have entry to Olam Haba. Kika shadulei, so as they were about to throw him into this room, Omar, he declared, kol nichsoi, all my possessions, all my assets, the Rav Akiva v'chavirav, is granted to Rav Akiva and his colleagues. This is going to be another element of merit for him supporting Torah, which is the ikar, reason for Olam Haba, to be zeichet Olam Haba. Okay, the question is, who gets what? We have, he promised it to Rabbi Kiva and his colleague. So is it 50-50? Yotze Rabbi Kiva v'dor, Rabbi Kiva came out and he declared that it's 50-50, as we find by Lechem Aponim, where the Pasuk says it's meant to be given to Aaron and his kids, Kohen Gadol and the other Kehanim. What part of Lechem Aponim goes to the Kohen Gadol? 50%. Because we say to Aaron and the kids, so 50%, 50%. Vayil Aaron Levanov. We learn that the Lechem Aponim, the base of Medrash, is given mech to Aaron, mech to Levanov, half to Aaron, or the Kohen Gadol in subsequent generations, mech to Levanov, and the rest, the other 50% to the regular Kehanim. Same here, since he promised, he gave away his assets to Rabbi Kiva and his friends, he meant 50-50. Yotza Baskel of Amra, at that point, a Baskel calls out and says, Ketir Bar Sholem, this minister who died as a righteous fellow, is Mezuman, Lechayil Abo, is invited, open invitation to Ilm Abo. When Rebbe heard about the story, Bacha Rebbe Vamar, he cried and he said, "Look, you never know when your moment comes. Bacha Rebbe Vamar, Yesh Koyna, Ilom Vishach, the person never knows when that moment will come that he has this tremendous Nisayan. Some sfarim called Nisoyin Achaim, your life Nisoyin, the purpose of your existence. That do or die, that breaking moment. Right? There can be a situation where a person, in one moment, can acquire his Chelek L'Mabo. Sometimes, and sometimes it takes a whole life. V'yesh Koyin L'Mabo become a Sholem, sometimes it takes a full life, many years. Antoninus, says the Gemara, Antoninus, Sham Shela Rebbe. As we learned, Antoninus served Rebbe, respected Rebbe. Adruchan, the name of another non-Jewish minister, Shamshel Rav, he served Rav, and they grew close, and they were friends. Kishacham Antoninus, in fact, Antoninus passed away. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Nisparda Chavila, our bundle, our relationship has now unraveled. Kishacham Adruchan, when Adruchan passed away, Amar Rav, expressed himself likewise, Nespada Chavila, it's been unraveled, and Rashi explains, Avasenu, our relationship, our closeness, Shenikshru, Nefesh B'Nefesh, we're very close. Astounding, huh? That the kings of Rome, ministers of Rome, took a liking and appreciated the MS and joined up. Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable. Okay, so we have the story of the apostated shtar, which we concluded, assumingly, refers to Malchus Yavan. The extra 6 years were justified, were explained, in which case shtar is current and legal and valid. Regarding the Yom Genusio, we said it's the day of inauguration, his own, his kids, although typically Rome does not have that ability to appoint successors, sons as successors. It's part of their Einish. They don't have their own culture, their own language, their own alphabet. But in some cases, we have exception, like in the case of Asvirus, the son of Antoninus, who was, Antoninus was Rebbe's confidant, always sought his advice, and Rebbe would carefully and discreetly respond to him in a way to keep everybody safe and sound. We have the daily visit through that tunnel with the slaves. We have the story of K'tiyah Bar Sholem, who likewise was Zeicha to Elam Habo. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.